So what's going on, everybody? It's your boy, The Real Free, with another episode of Free Lunch. Shout out to our sponsors this season, Dobie and Rollins Orthodontics, helping you love your smile. Shout out to Free Branding LLC. The best version of your brand starts right here. Shout out to Rojan Miller. And shout out to all the other sponsors in the description of this podcast. Make sure you click the links, y'all. Show them some love. Let them know that Free Lunch sent you. And now, with our guest today, we got my man, Key King in the building. I've been trying to come up with all these different nicknames for him, man. But again, brother of mine, crossed paths in my former life, still very much his life in law enforcement. But yo, thank you so much,
Appreciate you, brother, for being here with me.
I know you're a busy man, high in demand. So I don't take it lightly with any of my guests that come on the show, namely because the guests that I have that I invite, I know that there are other people that can really contribute to like what the majority of the audience is for my followers here on Free Lunch, which is people who have families themselves, people who are busy in the field of entrepreneurship. Yep. And so with that, being a good family individual, whether you're a family man, a family woman, being a good entrepreneur at your business, to be good at those things, sometimes people forget requires you to be busy with those things.
Very busy.
So when people trying to invite you to the cookout, it's not that you don't want to enjoy the cookout. It might be that you busy being an excellent dad, husband, or I'm busy running my business.
Like, or working
hard, right? Yeah, like, yeah. So, you know, ain't no shade or no, you know, whatever.
Nah, not at all. Listen,
hey,
man,
I might not be able to make
down a lot of trips already this year. But you know, I'm a traveler too, man. So this year, like, I'm focusing more on the entrepreneurship aspect and the family aspect of how, you know, we're expecting. Yes. Another one in May, so that'll
so
be
yo. Before we get deep in all the stuff that you're doing, man, let the guests know just you know who you are, how you like to introduce yourself. Typically, who is Kieron?
My name is Kieron Bryce. I'm 33 years old, married, father of soon to be four. Born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. Then we migrated here to the lovely state of Connecticut, where I graduated high school, ended up following a career in law enforcement, and then I'm dabbling into the real estate world, and that's a great path that I want to pave for myself and my family. So that's who I am.
Nice. And how long have you been in law enforcement now?
Maybe 12 years. That's crazy.
12 years.
Like I'm 33. Everyone's like, man, you look like you like 24.
12 years,
like,
bro.
Yeah, 12.
That time be ghost. Time is waiting for nobody, bro.
I know.
So how old are the kids?
The kids, my oldest is 13.
Okay.
Middle one is 3 years old. And the baby is a year and a half. Almost 2 years in April. Yeah.
Wow. So a 13-year-old and 3-year-old and 1-year-old.
Yeah.
Big gap. Yeah. And one on the way.
And one on the way.
This guy, he said, listen, I'm busy on top of busy on top of busy.
Still got to find time for the things that matter. You know what I'm saying?
I'm busy getting busy. All right. I love it, man. I love it. For you being so many, like wearing so many hats, man, to the point of like family, like what's the like thing you love most about being a dad?
Listen, man,
what's
I work the midnight shift, so just coming home in the morning and daddy hugs, kisses, snuggles, man, that is the highlight of my day. That is the highlight of my day, just my kids seeing me, just spending time with them, you know,
man.
With the whole family, wife as well, wife included.
And
the unconditional love is something that's, you know, you have to experience to really understand how it feels.
Yeah, man.
And that's my biggest, you know, motivating factor when it comes to all of this, man. It's the reason why I do it.
Love it. Yeah. So when it comes to like all of the, because you said you're, you know, now like kind of paving the path with the real estate thing. And I love like the conversation, you know, for the listeners who are in entrepreneurship in the, you know, different ways. Some are full-time entrepreneurs, some are working still the regular 9-to-5 job like you are and finding balance. For you, though, what type of are you at the place in your journey with even the real estate entrepreneurship? Are you at the place where you're finding a ton of enjoyment in it while still holding on to like your 9-to-5 job? Or are you kind of still in like the trenches, if you will, where like it's enjoyable because you know you're working towards something, but you still are like, you know, dreading it to some degree because it's work that has to be done on top of you doing 40 plus hours somewhere else first, though? Or like, is it kind of still been all good for you? Like, what's that experience been like?
It's been a mixed bag, but for the most part, I'm enjoying the ride. Still working a 9-to-5 right now, but you know, we're working towards bigger goals. So building upon this real estate journey and the journey I'm on, period, not just the real estate thing, but everything else I got going on, it's very enjoyable, and the wife and kids they're all loving it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm building this legacy and this empire for them. So, you know, them seeing me every step of the way is a very joyous and memorable occasion. You know, my kids are going to remember this.
So sure. Is it, you know, now like with the wife, is this something that she had any particular like experience in beforehand, or kind of going into this like real estate thing? Was it something new for both of you all, like both of you guys? Or
so before we met, I was in real estate already. I bought my 2-family house, and
okay,
you know, I've always had the real estate conscious mindset. And even when we met, I told her, listen, you know, real estate is my passion, and it's something I really, really want to go full on with eventually. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as the years went by and when COVID hit, that's when it,
yeah,
something just clicked. Something just clicked in me, and I'm like, I really need to follow this real estate path, because that's the path I want to go into full time in the entrepreneurship avenue. You know, I'm watching all these podcasts, listen to all these great people. Yeah. Excuse me. Listen to all these great people out there. And I just knew that there was more for me.
Yeah.
There was more for me and more for my family.
And how long have you guys been married?
We've been married since 2020, so.
Oh, okay.
3 years, just over 3 years, yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
So when it comes to like some of the other things, you said, you know, you were kind of into some other things as well. What besides the real estate, what else have you been kind of dabbling into?
Just had my first public speaking engagement.
Okay.
Which was
love it.
Phenomenal. It was a great experience, man.
And where was that?
That was at the Omni.
Oh, that was that Omni event.
Yeah, Omni. Last Sunday.
Yo, I heard so many great things about that event.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
What was that
great
like?
Showing and. Man, it was first off, it was a blessing. It was a blessing to be able
Absolutely.
To grace that stage with such phenomenal other entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
And you know, and these are like seasoned, experienced individuals.
Yeah.
And I'm coming here as, you know, a newer real estate entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm here because I've, you know, they feel that I could provide value to someone out there.
Yeah, man.
And I didn't want to take that lightly.
Look, I saw on one of the flyers, I don't know where I saw it posted, man, but like I saw your picture on one of the flyers, and underneath your name or under your picture, it said the Airbnb expert.
The king of Airbnb.
The king of Airbnb, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
How does that feel, man?
Listen, it's
like
it's,
to see other peers in the space, like, respect you in that way.
It's amazing, you know. And
because obviously, like in law enforcement, but you being in law enforcement, it's like 12 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that comes with a degree of, you know, social affluence and respect, right? So I don't think you're a stranger to that, to like respect, right? But that could be sort of like nuanced, very different than any other public community space.
Exactly.
Right? So it's like, you know, with the gun and the badge, you know, anybody with a gun and a badge could get that respect because it's fear.
Yeah.
Right? Not true community and relationship with
exactly.
people.
Exactly.
With relationship, when it comes to like people's, like, you know, living situation, mm-hmm. where they lay their head, that's a more intimate space.
Yes.
So to kind of have that respect in that space, like, mm-hmm. what's that like?
It's amazing, man. I mean, I don't want to say I'm one of the biggest people out here doing the Airbnb thing in Connecticut, but
yeah,
I'm showing people, not, you know, just through my social media and everything else I got going on, that it's very much possible that you can have an Airbnb Connecticut, man. Yeah. And I've built it to now where we have 6.
Wow.
And, you know, we built that within awesome. 18 months, which was crazy. In 18 months, we went
in
from 1 to 6.
In 18 months you did this?
In 18 months I did that.
Dude, that's crazy.
And each of them.
I thought you were about to say like 3 years or since 2020. I'm like, maybe it took them 3 years.
In 18 months, man.
18 months.
Yep, and that's just with me, you know, putting my head down to the pavement and really grinding and understanding.
Head down, hand to the plow, bro.
Yes, and understanding the intricacies of the business itself. So.
Wow.
Yeah, and then just applying what I learned. That's the biggest thing. You know, you have to apply what you learn. If you're just constantly learning, you stand on the sideline and not applying what you're learning, what you're trying to do, you know, you're gonna.
So when it came for you at the learning piece of it, like, where were you sort of garnering most of your knowledge from? Like, where were you doing most of your learning? Like
multiple sources. I mean,
was it just like YouTube University?
Oh yeah, YouTube University, heavy YouTube University. That I started getting into the podcast thing back in 2020. I'd never listened to podcasts before that, and I was like, you know what? Like, podcasts is it seems like the wave. Let me check it out. And man, yeah. It's been very instrumental in where I'm at today. Mm. So podcasts is I listen to podcasts heavy, you know, not just real estate podcasts, like mindset podcasts, you know, and finance podcasts and all these different podcasts.
Anything
that make
of substance.
Up life. Yes, exactly. Like, that I can apply
value
to my life and add value to me. Exactly.
Yes.
So podcasts, YouTube University, books. Books is a new thing I picked up. Audible. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'm driving while I'm listening.
Isn't that so like ironic of a thing to even say, like, as a full grown adult, like in your 30s or whatever, to be like, I picked up reading. Like, when we was kids, like, you know, you dreaded reading, like, and your teachers always told you how important reading is.
That summer school homework, you gotta read a book over the summer.
Right,
yeah.
And then you grow up and live life a little bit and then realize a light bulb goes off and go, you know what, reading is the way.
Yeah. But like you said, as a kid, you know, you're dreading it. But as an adult, like, this could mean it has so much more significance and impact on your life. Because as an adult, now you're paying attention to all these lessons that a lot of these books can provide for you, and a lot of value that can ultimately change your life.
And you're discovering some things that, like, can only be found in the book.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, right? Like, the book gets so undervalued.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like, you know, how the saying has gone, you know, I've heard people say, what's the phrase? You know, you want to hide something, put it in a book.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
And
like,
that's very true.
Like, the internet is the wave. Social media is the wave. Everybody's consuming that.
Oh, yeah.
You want to make something a little evasive or a little bit more elusive?
Mm-hmm.
Stash it in a book, man.
Put it in
a library. Something that's gonna make somebody have to work for it to really find it.
Exactly.
You know, these gems. So it's great that, you know, man, with the increase of technology, there's stuff like YouTube University. Mm-hmm. People can, like, you know, so then there's no excuse either.
No.
Right?
None.
For anybody who wants to know something, if you want to know bad enough, it's out there.
It's out there. It's out there.
It's not gonna cost you thousands of dollars to go get.
No.
It's out there and for free.
Yeah, there's free game out there, man, and you know, you're going to have to put in the work. You have to put in the work. I've put in thousands and thousands of hours and just, like, dude, I'm working. I'm driving the whole 8 hours, driving around the city.
Yeah.
I'm listening to podcasts.
Bro.
I'm listening to YouTube.
Bro.
I'm not putting on the radio. I'm not putting on the Drake. I'm not putting on the Fab. And, you know, I'm
feeding
putting
the brain,
on.
Bro.
Yeah, exactly. I'm learning while I'm working. You know, I'm trying to make the most of my 24 hours.
Yeah, man. Because even I know when I hit you up yesterday to even come on the show, you were like, "Yo, I'm coming off a double. I'm about to finish this double and then go run into a meeting with the videographer." And then I'm like, "Bro, I don't want you to then go from the videographer. Now you about to come to the studio for the pack. I'm like, yo, you need to get some rest, man. So just tell me, just how has that been with you trying to be both ambitious, but also balance the ambition with just sensical self-awareness to like tend to self-care?
Yeah.
Like, well, how's that like been? Like, is that still like difficult for you? Have you learned some like secret gems on how to find the balance? Like,
I've learned how to find that balance, you know, and I don't want to say it's easy, but I know my schedule, I know my body, I know what I need so I can function to make the most and maximize on my day and, you know, my body and things of that nature. So I worked a midnight shift. So, you know, I got all day for whatever I need. So if I'm getting off at night, you know, if I'm getting off at 8 o'clock in the morning, I go home, get some rest. And then I make the most of the rest of my day until I got to go back that night. Or if I work a double, I go home, sleep. And then if I got to put something off until the next day, I do that. And, you know, I don't try to bite off more than I can chew. Like yesterday, it was very manageable. That was a manageable day because it was still early. I got out around 2 o'clock, met my videographer around 3, you know, 4 o'clock. You know, you hit me up and I'm like, yeah, I could probably slide through, but then he was like, nah, get some rest. I'll see you tomorrow. And I'm like, all right, yeah, that's actually, you know what? I appreciate that.
I lived that life before. Yeah. I did that, you know, so I can respect it.
You know, I was able to go home by 5 o'clock, and I don't have to wake up till 11 o'clock. Honestly, most of the time, man, if I get 4 hours of sleep, man, I feel like yeah. I'm on top of the world. And that's just how, you know, I'm used to functioning.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Every person has to find what works for their body.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, some people need that 88 hours of beauty rest and stuff like that. You know, I can take naps throughout the day at any point in time and be just refreshed and recharged just like that. So,
and that's the thing, you know, too, is really knowing, like, because especially with the, you know, the popularity of social media has become a thing where a lot of people are trying to, how like when we were growing up, you know, it was called keeping up with the Joneses.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. But now with social media is everybody's trying to keep up with the next social media influence. Mm-hmm. Like, can I keep up at the same capacity I see them doing it or them doing it? You know what I mean? Like you know, you bang out 6 Airbnbs in 18 months, you know, can I one up Kieran?
Like,
you know,
and it's exactly. Like,
it really shouldn't be about that.
No.
And what it has to be about is really, are you being fulfilled at whatever the capacity whatever is that doing. You're doing it?
Exactly.
So if 18 months, you just launch one of, you know, whatever, if you're fulfilled in that one, then you're winning.
Then you're winning, exactly.
You're winning according to your standards. Like what's working for you, your family, feeling fulfillment. Like what's been your experience with that? Like, have you ever found yourself, even as a younger man, feeling conflicted internally with your ambitions and what you're striving for and kind of watching people you admire or your mentors see at the rate they're doing something great and have felt kind of like, you know, the pressure or whatever it is to kind of like just keep up?
Yeah. Me personally, no. You know, because I know I'm in my lane, I'm in my season, and I'm working toward getting to that level. It might take me longer than that person, it took that person, but I know I'm going to get there. You know, everyone's trying to, like you said, keep up with the Joneses and keep up with everybody on social media and trying to one-up them. No, listen, I look up to them as motivation. I look up to them as motivation, like, man, if they can do it, I know I can do it. You know, and I'm not trying to beat you out, you know. Maybe they did 5 Airbnbs in 1 year. If I could get 2, they motivated me to get that 2.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, now I'm looking at what their strategies are, what they did in their journey to get them to that level. But, you know, it's one step at a time, you know. You don't want to bite off more than you can chew, you know, so.
And speaking to like just the Airbnb or even like real estate, because you said before that you was actually already and just real estate, just not the Airbnb particularly.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the real estate or even, like I said, specifically Airbnb, what has for you been like the thing that sort of surprised you in in acquiring, you know, let's say your first Airbnb property? Like, what was something that after you went through the YouTube University, after you listened to the podcast, it was like that one thing that sort of revealed itself, not until you got your hands dirty mm-hmm. and you were like, oh, snap, I actually wasn't prepared for that, or I didn't think about that. Like, anything like that for you?
Not necessarily. I mean,
like, you felt like when you finally jumped in and got your hands dirty, every single point of the journey from start to finish, you were ready for it, you were aware about it, knew it was coming. You had no, like, surprises.
For the most part, yes. I was prepared with I mean, like, I studied tremendously. And yeah, I was so like, it's
your
time.
Preparation game was just
oh, it was on 100. It was on point. It was on point. Like, every angle I attacked.
I love it.
And, you know,
That's so unique. I don't want you to, like, be, you know, undermine that or under... I don't want the audience to miss that. Because it might just seem like... really, like, just sensical to you. And it makes sense to you.
Yeah.
Where I think in a lot of other industries or, you know, creative spaces, people really undervalue the importance of planning.
Planning and preparation is huge.
Right? You really can prepare enough mm-hmm. so that you don't run into surprises. Those issues.
Exactly. And that's pretty much what I did, man. Like, I was, like, I was over planning and prepping that I almost didn't list the Airbnb because I was just so, like, you know, I was just analyzing things so thoroughly. And my wife was just just list it. Like, I'm like, oh, I gotta make sure I have this in the photo. I gotta have that in the photo. Like, you know, I can't post it yet because, you know, if I don't have it in the photo and it's here, then it's gonna be a discrepancy. And she's like, listen, we can always take the photos of what we have now. And then when things change, we can always take more photos and then put those on. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. But a lot of that kept me from, you know, pulling the trigger a month or two earlier, you know, where I could have, you know, made more money. But, you know, I'm just over it analyzing things. And that's a real thing, too. You know, planning and prepping, you know, that's a great skill to have. So you don't want to overdo it, you know.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Is there such thing as over?
Sometimes you need to run into those problems to help you solve and really understand the issues that are within your business or within that property.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I do believe there's a such thing as too much preparation, too much planning.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to qualify that a little bit further by saying it's not that the too much planning or the too much preparation means you're doing too much. Because if it's in the vein of adding increased value to your listing or your product, whatever it is that you do, that's never bad. I think too much planning and too much preparation for me means you know it's too much when the extra doing inhibits your launch.
Exactly.
It inhibits your product being able to bless the people it's meant to bless.
Exactly.
Whether you create a product, whether you convey a service, when the thing is just bottled up, right? When the blessing, the thing dope about you, again, you can apply this across the board. Whether mm-hmm. you're again listing Airbnbs or whether you're selling candles, right? When it's not allowing people to enjoy it for what it is because you are obsessed in thinking that, no, I need to keep adding more. Yeah. That's where it's too much.
But yeah, and that's what we call analysis paralysis. Like, you're overanalyzing it
to the
point where now you're frozen and you don't do anything.
That part.
You know what I'm saying?
Don't do anything.
And now you can't, like you said, bless the people with what you have.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you don't want to overanalyze it. Sometimes you want to get it out there.
Yeah.
And it might not be perfect. No one's perfect in this world. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you need that positive feedback or sometimes that negative feedback.
Yeah.
Which can only help you grow stronger if you apply it.
So what, I mean, along the infancy stages of the journey, what were, if at all, I mean, because you just did OD planning, what was some of the negative feedback you received along the journey, like in the at the onset,
you know,
in the building stages?
The negative.
Even not even the Airbnb. Maybe just even in the other real estate property. Like just when you first entered real estate, because a lot of our listeners too are people that are considering just general real estate.
Yep.
Right? And they should expect that everything isn't applause and excellent job. Yeah. Like sometimes you have very constructive critique where, hey, you missed the mark on this. Or, hey, next time around, you need to make sure you tweak this. You know, what is some of that kind of feedback you got that wasn't all like thumbs up?
All great. Yeah, so you know when I listed some of my other properties, you know there were some issues, some underlying issues that I wasn't aware of because you know it's one thing when you're staging a property and you're going through it to get it set up, but it's another thing to actually stay the night and see, you know, be there and you know for 24, 48, 72 hours and really see some of the problems that might jump out to you. It might not jump out to me as the real estate guy that's setting it up. But someone that's staying there, that they might notice something that you missed, and they'll let you know that, and you're like, oh my god, okay, you know what? I appreciate that. I'll get right on that, and you fix that problem. And now the next person that stays there, they don't have that issue that the last guest had.
Mm.
And you need that criticism. You need those reviews and that construction.
What is that like when you're like on the receiving end of that for like the first few moments or seconds and you get that like, you know, that not so great feedback?
Yes.
I mean, do you cringe or is it like, you know, very welcoming? I know it's different with the many people, like how they
it depends on how they deliver it. You know, some people they make it seem like it's the worst in the world and it's a very simple fix. You're like, it's a very simple fix.
Yeah.
But you know, you're in that industry where, you know, if there's a problem, they want that refund, man.
How they say the customer's always right?
The customer's always right. The customer's always right. And, you know, you got to play into that role.
But
at the same time, it's like, oh, it's just that.
Listen, I've experienced that same type of individual, right, customer on my end. Like, so, you know, at the studio, you know, I have my own podcast, Free Lunch, but we executive produce we finished 2023. I just posted it on our Facebook page today. We finished 2023 with having executive produced 18 individual podcasts.
Wow.
18 in 2 years.
In 2 years.
Yeah. So, you know, I didn't beat the 18 month, you know, speed of my man.
But
18, right? So along that journey, we've had different clients who, you know, didn't like, you know, their particular edit or, you know, they wanted a certain look and they didn't get the lighting wasn't, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And so I had one where we had a glitch happen with their online, like, connection with the guests.
Yeah.
Right? So they wanted to have, like, they wanted to do a Zoom with the guests. They wanted to be in studio.
Yes.
But they wanted to have their guests tap in across the internet.
Well, yeah.
So one thing I always tell clients is this, is that if we can do it in the studio, it means we control everything.
Everything.
Anytime we want to do something across the internet, we have to consider that the internet, people's Wi-Fi, people's
many variables might not be on your end.
There's things we can't control.
Yeah.
All the time.
Mm-hmm.
So we have one of those situations where the internet server or wherever we were doing the transmission through went down.
Oh.
And we lost the other person's video of their guests.
Oh.
But we had all the audio.
Yep.
So we had the audio. We had all the video from our host or our client that's in the studio because that's our camera right here.
So
right?
It's on my old time.
So, you know, we thought the best way to salvage the episode, because it was a very important guest for them, is because we had their audio, we decided to do like a picture in a picture of like just a nice clean profile headshot of their guest and then had it up in like the corner of their, you know, very clean video that we had in studio.
Exactly.
And
that's a great solve, honestly.
You know,
most people want to think about that type of stuff.
I thought it was a great solve, a fix, especially if it was going to salvage a great guest.
Yes.
Now, maybe if it was another just, you know, general guest, you know, maybe we, you know, scrap the whole episode. You know,
exactly.
No big deal. But it was like a, you know, celebrity guest for them, you know, in their industry, and it was a very big deal. Mm. So I thought, you know, that was a great fix. Again, you know, to back to your point, you know, there's, you know, clients that they might feel like, you know, like, no, this is an entire catastrophe, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of more the reaction that our client had, is that it was an utter catastrophe, you know, and they didn't want to, you know, they weren't pleased with the entire episode at all. So what we did was, and again, this piggybacks off of when you have your clients and they're like, mm-hmm. hey, you know, I want my money back. Yeah. With us here in the studio, because, you know, and this is another thing for, you know, our listeners, for you guys to take in whatever industry, you know, product or service you're into. When you have an abundance mindset, mm-hmm. for me, it was really nothing to just say, you know what, we did all this work in production the day of the show. We did all this work after the show, editing the video. Mm-hmm. We did all this extra work, adding the picture-in-a-picture type of video component, which we normally never do, but we needed to do it because this, you know, issue. Yeah. We did this to please the client. The client still wasn't pleased. You know what? We decided to give the client all of their money back for the entire thing.
Yep.
And so some would have said, you know what? Nah, man, you can get a piece of it back. And they still got the product. And so for me, again, it wasn't a big deal, primarily because of that mindset I hold.
Yeah.
This is not necessarily an approach that other business owners may have had. So again, this is also not to knock you listeners if this is something that you think in your own space wouldn't have been the strategy you chose.
Exactly.
But for me, it was okay, again, because there's always more.
There's always
right?
more.
And it's not worth me putting a bad taste in another client's mouth and going, especially because this is a hit or miss every once in a blue moon occurrence.
Type of situation.
I'm not every week having a customer dissatisfied saying, hey, I want my money back.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? This is a customer that's, again, in the space of 18 other podcast clients who are thoroughly satisfied, you know, literally dozens of five-star reviews, constantly hand over fist. This customer could have this money back.
There's always that one.
I hope, you know what? I hope we can satisfy you next time.
Yep. There's always that. And that's the thing, you know, you're not going to please everybody. You're not going to please everyone. And that's across all forms, any industries, all platforms. You're just not. You know, everyone has their thing that, you know, that ticks them off or, you know, that level. And it might take that one situation where, now, even no matter, you could fix it to the best of your ability.
Yep.
They are not satisfied.
Yeah, man.
And that's my industry as well, man.
Yeah.
Listen, I'll go over. I have, as a matter of fact, you know, I just want to piggyback off of that.
Tell them what happened was.
Yeah, man.
Tell them what happened.
I have my property in Milford, and I get off at 8 o'clock in the morning from my 9 to 5. I get a message from the guest. It's kind of cold in here. The thermostat, it says it's 50 degrees. I'm like, uh-oh. And it was cold like a day today. I'm like, that ain't good. It was crazy. I was literally 5 minutes away. I was right off the exit. Went to the house.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, yeah, you know, we think something's wrong. I went, checked. Furnace wasn't working. And I'm like, I'm freaking out. I'm like, oh, man, like, it's cold. They have kids in here.
Oh, it felt cold when you got there.
Oh, yeah, it was brick. The furnace stopped working.
Wow.
Yep. So I gave them the best customer service. I went outside, grabbed some wood. There was a fireplace there. Threw some wood in the fireplace, started a fireplace for them to help warm until I could get a technician there. Technician was there within an hour, had it fixed within another half hour, and they had heat for the rest of their stay. And just that one thing, they left me the best and longest five-star review I have to date.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Hold on. So you just got off an 8-hour shift.
Yep.
Get over there right away, then go outside to get wood to start a fire.
Yep.
Then have a technician there within the hour.
Uh-huh.
Then have the technician done within the next hour or space of an hour, heat it, and the customer, I would imagine, justly so, left you the... Because I would, as a guest, I've been in Airbnb, I wouldn't expect it the owner.
Oh, no. They'll be like, yeah, I might send somebody over today.
Later or, tonight.
Or... Yeah, just throw some blankets on and start the fireplace. You'll be all right.
Yo. But
with me, when it comes to customer service and this business, that's the level of care that I have for not only my property, but for the people that spend their hard-earned money to stay in my property.
That's crazy, bro.
So, and that's what I
Where do you think that, like, for you, like, what do you attribute that coming from? Like, that you have that. Like, some people, it's their upbringing. Maybe they had an entrepreneur parent that they watched, showed them that customer service. Or it could just be things that people personally learned in their own adult life because they know that, hey, I want to be treated this way. So it just makes sense to me.
Yes.
But the question you beg to ask is, then why doesn't it just make sense to other people, right? So that's why I say sometimes it's something deep within our childhood and our upbringing that contributed to that. Where is that for you?
For me, that's me, you know, do unto others as you want others to do unto you. So how I want to be treated is how I treat
this people. Is what you envision if I was this guest at a place.
Exactly.
I'd want to see the owner show up and look like and he's taking my needs. Yeah.
Exactly. And as long as you put that effort in, they can never take that away from you. That shows your character. Exactly. That shows who you are. Like, you truly care.
Wow.
You know, and I would expect that same level if I'm staying at an Airbnb and, you know, something were to happen.
Yeah.
And as long as the problem is fixed, like, you know what? They did their best because, like I said, no one's perfect.
Because in my head, I thought the way the story was going to end, actually, before you finished it, is because I know things like a furnace could be sometimes a really big job.
Really big.
Right? Yeah. Like, to where you find out you need a new furnace.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, actually, where we're staying, me and my family, we actually needed a new furnace.
Oh.
And the owner emailed us and told us that a new furnace was, I want to say, like 3 days out. Mm. Like, right? So, so they had to, I forgot, like, what was the, you know, thing they had to do in the meantime.
Yep.
But we had heat, thank God. But what I thought was going to happen, how your story was going to end, was, you know, you went outside, you said you got wood, put in a fireplace, and then you had to, like, you know, just end up running to Walmart somewhere and buying a bunch of space heaters and putting in, you know, to as a just temporary fix. Because, again, things like, you know, furnaces and, like, you know, whatever could take a while to get fixed or find a new one.
Yep.
In my mind, again, putting myself in a customer space, even if that was the outcome, to me, I think to the point you said, if I can just see that the owner is doing all of what they can or what I, even in my imagination as the guest, can imagine what they can do for me to try to accommodate me as much as possible, that goes above and beyond. Like, that goes so long way for me as a customer.
Yep.
So even if the furnace couldn't get fixed, but I saw this dude then went out, got wood, started the fire, not sent us a text saying, hey, you can just start the fire, grab some wood outside.
Yeah, give them instructions.
Give you instructions. Or even, hey, here's a Cash App of $50. Go to Walmart and go find you a space heater. No, if he went to Walmart himself and got three space heaters to fill every room and just was like, you know, it's out of my control. We need a new furnace and there's not a new one until 3 days away from now.
Yep.
But I see that this owner is doing all they can. I think for most customers, that's what they just want to see.
That's what they want to see.
Because they know real life happens.
Yep.
Like, no one can always anticipate everything that could go wrong.
Yeah.
But show me as an owner, show me as a restaurant manager or owner, wherever the space is, are you doing all you can do to satisfy the customer?
The customer, exactly. And I was going to piggyback off of that with a different story, like how the dynamics, you know, something so major could be, you know, just simple to somebody, you know, and they can appreciate the effort. But something so small could be like the biggest upsetting thing to someone. So that, to piggyback off that story, I had a guest that recently stayed at one of my other properties. They complained that the sink was draining slowly and that there were screws missing from a chair. I was like, oh, you know, we apologize, you know, I'm like, we can come fix that like today or tomorrow. And he's like, no, it's not necessary. It's not going to hinder my stay. I'm like, okay, all right, we're great, you know. Sure enough, the next day he's like, oh, you know, these things are hindering his stay. It's Christmas weekend, and he wants somebody out there to fix these issues now. a slowly draining sink and a screw missing from a chair.
Wow.
And I'm like, well, unfortunately now, you know, I can't get anyone out there. Like, cause I was at work. Like I'm working 16 hours. So I'm like, I can't get over there. Like,
and it's
Christmas weekend.
And no one can get out there. I asked you previously about this already.
Exactly. We could have had this fixed before. So long story short, after his stay, he left me like one of the worst reviews for that property. And that property has over like the most 5-star reviews. He left me the worst one. The worst review on that property because of a slowly draining sink and a screw missing from a chair.
Wow. And now for me, like, right, so, again, tell me if this is how your brain works. So now it's like I'm trying to, for those little whatever things, I'm trying to nail those things in the coffin. Like, I'm going to make sure there's not room for not any other guest to complain about that
particular
thing.
Exactly.
So it's like, you know, while it can be aggravating on one hand, on the other hand, it's a blessing.
Yeah.
It's always counted a blessing because it then just draws my attention to something else where I can improve or fix.
Exactly. And now on.
So it's like, hey.
You can throw that on the list.
For those who are, you know, who need the sink to drain immediately quickly out there, hey, no harm, no foul, no shade. You only sharpened the tools in the space to get another 105-star reviews.
Exactly.
That much more.
So easier. Now, like, I'm added to the list. All right, make sure the screws and the chairs aren't loose every 2 months or something.
Yeah, you know, touch
so
it
simple.
Up. You know?
You know, check the drains after every cleaning to make sure hair isn't clogging the drain. Because
that's the thing,
it
right?
is a thing.
Like, I would have even missed that.
It is
like,
a thing.
You know what? That's true. If I have a lot of guests using this property, that's a lot of hair
shedding
down a drain after a while. I'm going to have to check on that.
And small you never really think about when you get
into
this
someone
business.
Says something, right? But once you hear someone say something, it then clicks in your head to go, let me just make this a part of my frequently
routine.
You know quality assurance checklist so that now I don't have to wait for I could get ahead of the complaint.
Exactly.
I don't need to wait for somebody to let
me know. You add that along the list with checking the light bulbs every so often, changing the batteries in the remote every so often, you know,
testing the fire alarms
every so often. It's a lot
that could go into
it. It's a lot, and it's the small things people don't think about.
Yeah.
But with me, you know, I'm like, all right, I'm adding that to the checklist.
Yes.
And then, you know, when I want to get into teaching people, now that's something I could bring up on to them.
Because I'm like, yo, give me that game, bro.
You know what I'm saying?
You learn.
That's a checklist I can give to them. And they're like, wow, I never even thought of this.
So with you having done so many, like for you, if you could do number one, so you had six.
Mm-hmm.
If you could do number one all over again,
mm-hmm.
so whatever was the first property,
yep.
if you could do that one again and start from when, like, you know, snap your finger, enter a magical world where now it's you reverse
that.
All of these six properties, you're back at number one, but you kept all of the knowledge as if you did all six of them. What would you do differently about property one?
Property one, I would have started sooner. I would have started a lot sooner.
Okay.
It took me almost 3 months to get that listed.
Wow.
Like, because like I said, the analysis paralysis.
How much sooner do you think?
I could have had that started within a week. Within a week of my tenants moving out, I could have had that listed. So I missed out on 2 and 3
Are
months
you
of
serious?
Income. Yes.
You think with all you know now, if you could go back, you could have it, you would have been ready in a week.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because this is the thing I was doing. Like, I was trying to be cheap and go to the thrift store and build my furniture, and I build my side tables. I built my coffee table. I even built my dining table. I sanded it. I stripped it of paint.
Yep.
You know, I put a coat on top, glazed it, repainted it, did all these things that took so much time that I could have just ordered everything off of Amazon and had it in 2 days.
And then the money you would have made in the 2 months you lost.
So what I was trying to save,
In time and money still.
Exactly. Because not only was I not listing it, I was taking that I was overtime. you know, overtime from work. Like, I could have been working overtime. Exactly. So not only just missing the rental income, now I'm missing the overtime income because I'm trying to work on these things.
You was burning at both ends.
Yes, man. So, like, and my wife is like, if you don't list this thing, boy, I was.
Okay, so, all right. So one thing you would have changed is definitely started earlier.
Mm-hmm.
What's something else?
I would have started. So I used my personal finances to fund that. I would have started my LLC and then used the business financing to finance the whole thing and then pay that off.
Okay.
Yeah. Because a lot of people, you know, they don't understand that that's a business.
Absolutely.
That is a business.
Yes.
That can be tax write-offs and all these great benefits. But when you start using your personal money, you know, you're not going to get as much as that write-off as if you were a business. Yeah. And having a business, you get that business income. So now, you know, your business is generating all this income.
Yep.
When it's time to go get a business loan, they're like, all right, what did your business generate?
Yes.
And then not only for that, but for my financial, you know, tax burdens. Because that's all going to, you know, all that is going to my personal account. And now, like,
yeah,
it's showing as my personal income
and now
for that property.
Now you looking like a millionaire.
Yeah.
You in a whole other bracket.
That first year, they was like, yeah, you owe $10,000. I was like, what?
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, I didn't put this in the LLC.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't get those benefits and those write-offs by furnishing this thing that I could have if I would have done it through the LLC.
You have a third one? What's a third thing you would have done different?
Third thing I would have done different.
So we would have definitely, if listeners, keep up. We would have definitely launched sooner, so don't get caught with the analysis paralysis. Number two, we would have used the LLC. Again, make sure you're not using your personal finances. Use the business.
Mm-hmm.
The third thing you would have done different?
Third thing I would have done different.
Would you have not chose that place as a thing you would have done different?
No. That was like the best place to choose.
Okay.
You know, because it's a property that I already owned and I live in. I still live in it till this day. So it's a two family.
Nice.
So my tenants, they moved out on the bottom floor. And that was pretty much like my test on if the Airbnb is going to work. Yes, exactly. So it's not like I'm going out there buying a property and then praying it works.
Yeah.
I already have this.
Kind of get the cushion of this is already. Minds, I'm living here.
Exactly.
I like that. I like that
and
as a strategy.
You know, if it doesn't work, I can always turn it around and list it for the regular rental. And listen, that place goes crazy.
Yeah.
That place goes crazy, man. Even when I listed it as a long-term rental, I put it up on Zillow and you know, all these places. Within a day, I had over 100 inquiries. In the first day, I said, I had to cut it off. I was like, nope. And then I got to choose who I want to interview for this place. I interviewed 10 people, and that even was a lot.
Wow.
But then I ended up getting great tenants. So then they moved out, and then I'm like, all right, let's try the Airbnb thing. And that thing is going crazy too, man.
Damn.
It's going bananas.
You got me interested, man. I might be having to look into some Airbnb king tutelage.
You know what I'm saying? And it's a great strategy, you know, for if you're house hacking. That's what it's called, house hacking, where you live in one unit.
I love the, because I haven't heard that approach. I mean, I'm also not in the spaces where these conversations happen, so maybe your approach isn't as novel of an idea as I'm taking it. But I've not heard it before.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people they said, oh, I never even thought about doing something like that.
Yeah, like, but having a multifamily that you already live in,
mm-hmm.
right, and then leasing out the space, the other spaces, as long-term rental property is something mm-hmm. that I've commonly heard.
Yeah.
But not testing the waters for Airbnb
mm-hmm.
via that same mechanism, yep. I've not heard that.
Yeah.
So I love that idea for those, because I think there are many entrepreneurs who are already in the space of real estate
mm-hmm.
and multifamily real estate.
Yeah.
And they're considering Airbnb now.
Yep.
Here's a safe sort of cushion way to explore if the Airbnb model works for you by using your already existing multifamily.
Exactly.
So if it doesn't work out the way you want, you always can still have the space and list it as a regular rental,
exactly.
which you already know is a system that works.
Mm-hmm.
and you know,
it's gonna
no harm, no foul.
Like that. Exactly.
I love that. Yo, yeah. I wish we had more time, man. Before we wrap up, bro, I want you to like give me just for whether it's something that we touched on already here in the show today, but or something that's brand new that just kind of hit you now. For the individuals listening, knowing that there are people who are interested in business, entrepreneurship, whether it's products or services, knowing that there are people that are also juggling family life, knowing that very often, if not all, the majority of the audience are people who are juggling the 9-to-5 and being afraid of if they should take the leap and leave it to pursue the entrepreneurship full time. Knowing that that's what our audience is made up of, all those dynamics, what is the free food for your soul? That's our tagline on the Free Lunch podcast. Mm-hmm. What is the thing to edify the people listening that you want to leave them with? And this piece, we always at this segment, you know, encourage the guests to take your time. We always aren't capable of editing out the pause.
Yeah.
So don't feel rushed, because it truly is, for me at least, one of the best parts of the show. Because these are everyday people, everyday yeah. listeners who are, they're needing to be motivated yeah. and feel inspired and feel encouraged by other people's story, testimony, struggles, triumphs. And so I want you to, you know, really think about what you want them to take away as they still navigate their journey. Yeah, man. Yeah, man. That's the free food for the soul, man. Same way food edifies the body.
Listen, just whatever you put your mind to, just keep going for it. You know, don't let anybody tell you no. Don't let anybody project their fears onto you. Mm. You know, I had people do that when I was starting wow. my journey, and that didn't stop me.
Wow.
And now, you know, 6 properties later, I'm wow. still hungry. I still want more.
Wow.
And if that's in you, keep chomping at the bit, keep that fire lit, because no one could ever stop you once you put your mind to something. The only roadblock is you and your mind and your mindset.
Wow.
So having that strong mindset, having that strong will, listen, nothing's perfect. It might get hard. It probably will get hard. But as long as you keep going, keep your foot on the gas, you'll always move forward. You'll always move forward. And you'll be able to get it done. You'll be able to get it done. And then you're going to look back and say, wow, that wasn't so hard. That wasn't so hard. So a lot of people, you know, they like to, you know, let their mind stop them for what they want to do. Just do it. Just do it.
Yo, give everybody your handles, where they can find you on social media, websites. Social media, don't matter, whatever it is.
You can find me on Instagram. I'm very active on Instagram at Keron Bryce, REI. That's KERONBRYCERII. Keron Bryce, REI. My business is Keyscape Rentals. I have a website, www.keyscaperentals.com. And yeah, you can find me on TikTok, everything. I have it all. So,
yeah.
I'm up on game.
I love it. You know what I think I'm going to title this episode?
What's that?
You are your only roadblock.
I like that.
I love that, bro. Thank you for the free food for
of
your
course,
soul.
Brother, I appreciate you having
my
me.
My brother.
On such notice. Hey, on such short notice.
Yeah. It's free lunch, y'all. Free food for your soul. Peace.